If you will, I'll get you to turn this morning to Philippians chapter 4. And if you don't mind, we'll read and then ask the Lord's blessing upon it. Starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, let your patience, your mildness, your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Gracious Father, we come to you this morning asking that your blessings would be upon the reading of your word. And Lord, as it was just mentioned in devotion, that you would make yourself known unto us this day. Lord, let us not have come for any other reason than to see and to hear you and find nourishment for our souls. For Lord, this day has been set aside, a day of rest. And let us take advantage of that. Open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart of understanding. Have mercy upon our souls. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The verse I'd like to look at this morning, I guess, is verse 6. And I'll read it again. Be careful for nothing. Be careful means to be anxious about. Take thought. So don't be anxious. Take no thought, but in everything, by prayer, praying earnestly, or just worship, and supplication, which is our petition, our prayer, our request, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This verse come to mind, I don't know, it could have been a couple months ago. It was the text in one of the devotions I was reading. And I found it to be needful at the time, and I ended up sending it to Crystal and hoped that she would find some comfort from it. And that's kind of where my thoughts have been lately. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Take no thought. We're all reminded of what the Lord said. Take no thought for your life. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. And He reminded us that do I not feed the ravens? Do I not clothe the grass of the field? Take no thought. There's a few people in Scripture I'd like to look at this morning. Just some that come to mind and thinking on this and in their time of trouble. And the first one is Jacob. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 32. And I don't think we need a definition of the word anxious. I think we all know what that is, most especially in our day. And as Tim just mentioned, of how busy we are, it creates a lot of anxiousness. Jacob has left Laban, his father-in-law, because the Lord told him to go into the land of his fathers. And He told him, I will be with thee. So Laban has left. And, you know, he sends some messengers, to his brother Esau. Jacob hadn't forgotten what he's done. Even though I believe Jacob's a changed man. I don't believe he's that deceitful fellow that he used to be. But he hasn't forgotten, and he sends two messengers to his brother. Because when he had last seen his brother wanted to take his life. So he sends his two messengers and he hopes to find grace in his sight. And they come back and they tell him Esau's on his way and he's got 400 men with him. And in verse 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Now I'm sure everybody here can put themselves in Jacob's shoes. You hadn't forgotten what you've done. I do believe Jacob had forgiveness from the Lord. But all of a sudden, he's fearful and distressed. Because he's got his brother coming. Now his brother didn't say he was coming to kill him. They just said that Esau's on his way. Now I don't know about you, but how many of you make mountains out of molehills? You let your wheels start turning. And it's human nature. We automatically go to the worst case scenario. We all start thinking of the worst thing that's going to happen. So Jacob starts dividing them up in bands. That way the first band goes. If Esau takes them, then maybe the others will get away. So what do you do in a moment when you're distressed? You're anxious and you're fearful. Because in this moment, Jacob had forgotten what the Lord had just told him. He said, go into the land of your fathers, and I will be with thee. Take no thought for your life. Well, Jacob recalls to mind what the Lord said. If you will, in verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac. The Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will dwell well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. The next one I'd like to look at is David, if you'll turn to 1 Samuel 30. And I'm trying to get to my point. David's where he should have never been. He's been running for fear from Saul. And now he's in the land of the Philistines with Achish. And he went to help Achish and the Philistines, but they sent him back. And when he gets back to Ziklag, he finds that they've been smitten. Ziklag's been burned by the Amalekites. And they've taken their women and their children and all their stuff. And in verse 6 it says, and David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You know, you think, how could he do that in a moment when everybody's against you? But the Apostle Paul said in what we just read, and you don't have to turn back, but I'm going to read it to you. Remember those things, which I'm paraphrasing, which you have both learned. Those things which you have learned. So he goes back in his mind and he encourages himself. Out of all the times that the Lord has delivered him, he's delivered him from a bear, a lion, the giant, and he's delivered him from Saul multiple times. And he says in Psalm 6:18, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Do you have that kind of faith in these times of anxiousness, fear? He said, take no thought for your life. And he also says in Psalm 56, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. So he encouraged himself and that he already knew. What do you know of the Lord? Has He ever forsaken you? In all these times of inward turmoil, or whether it's outwardly, has He ever forsaken you? Can I not go back over that I've already learned and find strength and hope? Sure I can. We have His written Word. For these things are written for our examples, that we might not only know what we've learned of ourselves, but as the Apostle said, what you have learned of Me. And the last one I'd like to look at, and you don't have to turn, but it's in Luke 10:41. And He says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But," He says, "Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken from her." And I couldn't help but think about that when Tim was given the devotion. Mary set everything aside, and she was at the feet of Jesus. And as I gave you the definition of prayer, she was there worshiping. I don't know if she had a request. If I had to guess, she was there in quietness, listening. And I know you've heard our pastor talk about that. Getting quiet in your closet. And at that moment, you don't have need of anything. But you can hear your Master speak and teach. I can relate to Martha in a lot of ways. I'm always busy. I want to get things done. But there comes a time that we must let them go. Because where Mary's at, she's finding strength. She's building faith to where when these times do come, she can be as David, "I shall not be moved. This is not going to rock my world." Now that don't come overnight. It comes over time. And if we will take these examples, not only of Scripture, but if we would take the examples of each other, when we see you go through hard things, and we see you come through, they'll build faith in us. The Apostle said, "Which you have both learned and received and heard of Me." Do these things. Take no thought. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be fretful and worried. I hear people all the time talking about how fearful they are for our nation, their grandchildren, children. And I understand exactly where they're coming from. I had went into one of the local stores a couple of weeks ago, and the store owner, you know, he was talking with me, and his exact words is, "I'm just afraid." He's afraid of the outcome of his business. And everything else that goes along with that. And in that I can understand as well. But we don't have to take thought for these things. We can trust in the Lord and what He has said. Take no thought for what you put on or what you eat. He has provided all these things. It being an election year, everybody's going to be in an uproar. Can't wait to see who goes in. Fearful of who goes in. And in the end, it really just doesn't matter. Because God's going to put into office who He wants in office to accomplish His will. So why should I fear these things? Jude said, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build means make progress. Make progress. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And these things that I mentioned this morning, they're just those footmen that our pastor mentioned a few weeks ago. This is just daily life, daily living, daily circumstance. And we can't allow these things to shake us. Because harder things will come. And we want to be a people that are able to stand still in adversity. Might not know what the outcome is going to be. But we stand still waiting to see the Lord deliver us. To deliver us. Waiting to see what He will do in this situation. Because you don't know. He might just divide the Red Sea. And He might allow you to walk on dry ground. Do we believe in a God like that? And the only way we can come to believe in Him like that is allow Him to work in our lives. Try Him. Trust Him. And watch Him deliver you. Watch Him work out all these situations for the good of those that actually love Him. He talks about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And I heard Brother Gene say it many years ago, peace is just nothing. It's nothing. Whatever the situation is, you're not scared. You're not anxious. Not troubled. You're not stressed. His stillness within. I like the verse Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. How is that? How is it? Because he trusteth in Thee. If I can trust him to handle the situation, and I'm totally leaning on Him, then I have perfect peace. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. verse 7. Let me read it to you in the Amplified. It gives a better understanding. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A peace beyond understanding. In time of trouble, distress, anxiousness. And He said, think on these things. I don't remember what it was last Sunday or Monday, whenever it was. I was already dreading the week because I knew what we were up against. And Crystal made this statement about the worst case scenario, and she said, why don't you just think of the actual case scenario or the best case scenario? And I thought that was pretty good advice. Think on what's actual. Think on what's good. What's possible. And then trusting that whether it goes the way you want it or not, it is the will of the Lord. And it'll be all right. I'm sure you are in similar situations, although they differ. But what would it be if we exercised true faith? And in everything. Tim had mentioned, do we talk to Him as we ought? And he says, in everything by prayer and supplication. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. Do you talk with the Lord about everything? Everything. You can. And I know you younger ones don't yet realize that. Someone says something bad about you at school, it bothers you. Tell them about it. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend break up with you and it hurts your feelings, tell them about it. Trust Him. Build your most holy faith. You young boys, you used to not have the strength and the muscles that you got now. But you kept working at it. And you've grown. And that's the same way with faith. It is the gift of God. But it has to be developed. You have to make progress. You know, it makes me wonder that we get in such a tizzy and don't trust the Lord in small matters. And how will you ever trust Him with your soul? How will you ever depend solely on the work that He has done? Because you're going to have to do it by faith. Trusting and believing that He paid my debt. And in true Christianity, there's no fleshly boasting or fleshly confidence. I heard one tell a group of kids the other night, "Don't you doubt. Devil's going to come along and make you doubt." And I thought it might be good to doubt. A man of faith like David Brainerd, young, he gave up his whole life for the ministry. He decided not to marry the love of his life because he was afraid that would hinder him in the service of the Lord. And this is a man that had doubt at times, and he wrestled. And he worked his salvation out with fear and trembling. Building up his most holy faith. And when he departed, he had that perfect peace of God. I have hope that maybe there was something in this for you. Only the Lord knows. And I'm not going to try to drag it out and repeat myself. But in everything by prayer and supplication, and with a thankful and grateful heart, make your request known unto Him. Tell Him where you're at. Tell Him of your doubt, what you're struggling with. And let Him become what He hadn't to us yet. A true relationship with Him. Just talking with your Father. Telling your whole heart. Because He says He cares for you. I appreciate my wife and us, our conversations. But she can't do for me what He can. She can encourage me. And she can correct me. But only He can grant that faith to believe and to trust Him. And to develop my relationship in Him that when those horsemen come someday, I don't want to be someone that's running and tucking their tail. But I want to be someone, come what may, I can stand here and wait upon the Lord and see what He's going to do. And watch Him save me. And watch Him deliver me. Now, I don't know what that means. If you get on the news networks, they'll tell you what's coming. But all that does is create stress and anxiousness, inward turmoil, and it's not worth it. Think on those things that are just and right and good and have virtue. And trust and believe in a holy God